We're reading from Acts 14, 21 to 28. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered and the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and they stayed there for a long time with the disciples. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
If you were here last week, you may have remembered that from our tree, there was rope and branches of wood to represent being deeply rooted in our faith. Today, we explore the second part of that vision statement that we have for the church, which is branching out. In our yard at home, we have a willow tree, and it towers above our house. It's a huge willow tree. And sometimes when we're not keeping up on it, there are willow branches that actually touch the ground in our yard. Beneath the tree, one of the reasons we love the tree so much is beneath the tree in the summertime, it's easily 10 degrees cooler in the shade of that giant willow. The tree sits on the edge of our property. It's actually on our property, but it hangs over into two of our neighbors' yards. And the draping branches sometimes annoy our neighbors. If you've ever had a willow, they are a little messy when the branches fall. And when our neighbor's trying to mow, sometimes, you know, that gets in the way and he gets a little frustrated. Still, that tree is so large and so draping that if we take that tree down, he will get the setting sun right in his back windows of his house. And so I think he appreciates the shade while he's annoyed by the branches. It provides such great protection. Caring for that willow tree is no easy task. Branches are always falling. We're always piling them up. And in the fall, it's hard to rank up those tiny little leaves. There's a lot of leaves, but they're little. Hard to rake them up. We ended up mowing as many as we can. Still, the tree is worth having in our yard. We love that tree. For the nest that it makes in the branches for the birds, and for the growth that it provides and the shade that it provides. It's a lot of work, and branching out in our faith is also a lot of work. Sharing our faith is a lot of work. It's not an easy road to go to believe in Jesus Christ and to follow as Christ calls us. In Acts 14, we read 21 through 28, but in verses 1 through 20, if we were to have actually read that, we would see a pretty big setup for what Paul and Barnabas and the other apostles were going through. The story regales Paul's time and time spreading his faith and the story of his branching out, and it's part of his first missionary journey, and there are, in that just 20 verses, a lot of challenges that Paul experiences when he tries to share Christ with other people. Wherever Paul or the apostles went, the Acts tells us, and then even in those letters that Paul writes, there are those who believed, but easily there's just as many who did not believe. And it's those people who did not believe that caused the most challenges for Paul and the apostles. Christ gave them the words to speak, and Christ gave them the ability to perform miracles and to do things. And even though they were healing people, made a lame man walk, the miracles did not touch some of the people, and some chose not to believe. Some chose not to follow Christ. Just prior to today's passage, we read that Paul was stoned in the town that he was in. He was stoned and left for dead out on the edge of town. He got up and went back into town and preached again. They did not kill him in that stoning, but they tried. He bravely went back into the trenches for Jesus Christ and continued to preach and continued to teach. Paul was committed to branching out and sharing the faith that he had through Jesus Christ. For Paul, it was no easy task to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But he knew that followers of Christ belong to the Lord, not to themselves. He knew that God had called him intentionally to be a voice for Christ. He didn't gain admirers in this teaching, but he was trying to gain disciples for Jesus Christ. Paul suffered for his faith, and honestly, we're called to suffer for our faith too. But we live in the United States, and our suffering for faith is not anything like Paul's suffering for faith. And yet, we do suffer. We suffer in ways that are different because of the society we live in. We suffer when we sacrifice. We suffer when we choose to spend time on Sunday morning in worship and Sunday school and gigs and choir. We suffer when we give our time in service. We suffer when we sacrificially give the gifts that we have. That's our way of suffering. Not as Paul suffered, but because we're giving something else up, time or money, we're suffering just a little bit. All for Christ's church. It's probably not the kind of suffering that we think about when we read the Bible, but it is a form of suffering. And maybe you're not suffering enough for your faith. You see, Jesus wants us to put him first. That's one way that we can suffer when we say no to something else and say yes to Jesus Christ first. It can reflect in our lives the priority that we have as a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus doesn't want us to just follow when it's convenient. That's kind of where we suffer, is when we do it when it's inconvenient. When we give up a Saturday to sandbag, when we could be golfing or being on the doing other things, playing, we put Christ first in our life. We're called to not just do it when it's convenient. We're called to not just do it when we don't have anything better to do, to serve at Share Blessings because I don't have anything else on my calendar, or to give to the ministries of Christ because I have extra money in my pocket. Christ doesn't want our leftovers. Christ wants us to put him first. And that's a hard thing to happen. That's a hard thing as a believer of Jesus Christ because it means that we're giving up some of our own preferences and our own time and money. But growth happens in our lives, and we are changed as people when we put Christ first. And when we put Christ first, we impact people so that their lives are changed for Jesus Christ too. Jesus wants us to be intentional in our faith. And that's what branching out is all about, being intentional in our faith. Our discipleship pathway of branching out includes two parts, corporate worship and a small group community. And I realize when we say corporate worship, you know, it sounds kind of business-like, right? I don't know that what we're doing here feels very corporate. It feels very more faith-like to me. But it's corporate worship is being in this place intentionally instead of, say, worshiping on the golf course, right? Worshiping on the lake, right? Worshiping on a hike in the woods. Sometimes we have to do those things just to get ourselves a break, but we can't always worship on the lake and the golf course and in the woods. And so it's that intentionality of attending worship and seeking ways to participate and maybe even lead in the ministries of the church for the purpose of growing our faith, for the purpose of going deeper with Jesus Christ, and for helping others do that as well. I want you to think for a minute. You don't have to say it out loud, but just think for a minute. How often do you attend worship? Is it weekly, a couple times a month, monthly, every so often. If you're here today, you're not just a Christmas and Easter worshiper. You're actually here another time. But how often do you attend? And when you're not in worship, why aren't you in worship? What's going on instead? Now, I know we travel and we visit with family. We're not in worship. Athletic events get put on Sunday morning. You know, other kinds of dance and gymnastics and all of those things. Those things happen in our calendar. I recognize that. Are you not in worship sometimes because you just want to sleep in? You just want to have a leisurely Sunday morning, or you're cleaning the house? Think about your worship attendance. Is it dependent on how relevant worship is or how irrelevant worship is? So if you come here and you think, this is not relevant to me at all, that might make it so you don't want to be here. Or maybe it's very relevant and you do want to be here. And when you're here for worship, think about the reason that you're here. Are you here because of the people that are gathered in this place? Are you here because of the music, because of the sermons? You don't have to get on my good side and say yes to that, by the way. Are you here because of the opportunities for children or youth? Christ desires our presence in worship as a way to connect with the Lord. This is a place where we ideally connect deeper with Jesus Christ, that help us go from this place and live a life centered on Christ. We come to worship so that we're able to branch out in our faith when we leave. Considering your own worship motives and habits, how often do you invite others to worship? Did you know that the average United Methodist invites 1 to 2 people in their lifetime? In their lifetime, whole lifetime, Methodists. We're Methodists, right? United Methodists? Not a good track record for Methodists. Branching out in our faith includes the willingness to bring people into worship. If you like it here, if you like how you connect with Christ here, why would you keep it to yourself? Why not share it with others and bring others into our midst? Worship is one of the ways that we meet the mission of this church, which is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And worship is one of the ways that we grow deeper and walk closer to our Lord. The second part of branching out is small group community, or in simpler terms, getting connected with other people beyond worship for Jesus Christ. This happens best when we choose to join a gig, a growth and impact group, or a Bible study, and we choose to go deeper with others in Jesus Christ. As you go deeper and you branch out in your gig or Bible study, individually your faith grows in Jesus Christ. And as your faith grows, so does your level of intimacy with Christ. If you were here last year, we talked about being that intimate friend of Jesus Christ, which causes you to experience transformation. We have a little conundrum in our church. Ironically, there are more adults than ever in gigs on Sunday morning, gigs or Bible studies or groups on Sunday morning, which is a great thing. In fact, we're kind of having to strategically put people in different places to meet. But what's happening is because people want to be in gigs and grow deeper in their faith, we don't have as many Sunday school teachers, as enough people to work with the people, our children and our youth. And so this shortage has added sort of a challenge for us. Part of going deeper, part of branching out, part of our faith is to serve where God calls us to serve. And that might be to say, one Sunday, I'm going to go teach over here in this classroom. It's our third and fourth grade classroom. We started another classroom. If you were here a couple weeks ago, our numbers are so big we had to sort of take a few kids out. In our faith, there really aren't any shortcuts to going deeper and to branching out. Christ desires us to call on him each and every day of our lives to help frame our day, to start our day with Christ and then have our day be about what Christ would have us do. each interaction that we make throughout our day, from our waking to our sleeping, is a time for us to show Jesus Christ to other people. And what is it, each time you interact at work or at home, what are you showing your family or the people that you work with or the people that you meet at the store or on the street? Our actions are a powerful witness to Jesus Christ living in our hearts. What is it that you show to the public? What is it that people see of Jesus in you on a daily basis? I want to share a story with you. It's about a woman, and there was a man tailgating the woman, a man was being tailgated by a woman, and the woman was stressed out. She must have been having to go somewhere, and on a busy street, busy boulevard, and suddenly the light turned yellow, and the car in front didn't run the yellow light but stopped, and the woman behind in the car started honking her horn, started making gestures, the gestures I'm talking about, started shaking her fist and yelling obscenities and being very frustrated. In the middle of the rant, she heard a tap on her window. And she looked up and saw a police officer at her window. And the officer asked her to exit her car and put her hands up. He took her to the police station, fingerprinted her, booked her, put her in a holding cell. And after several hours, the policeman came back to the cell, and she was escorted to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting for her with all of her personal effects. He apologized that he had made a mistake. He said, "You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you, and cussing a blue streak. I noticed the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker, the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on your trunk. Naturally, I assumed your car was stolen." What do we show the world, right? Anybody have any of some of those bumper stickers or emblems? What do people see? It is a funny story. It is comical. But today, there are so many Christians that live their life Monday through Saturday that represents nothing of Jesus Christ. They come to church on Sunday, they do their Sunday thing, and then they go on the rest of the week without Jesus in their lives. It shows that a person is unchanged by Jesus Christ and gives our faith a bad name. My friends, don't let the world distract you from your walk with Jesus Christ. Don't get in the habit of sleeping in on Sunday and skipping your time of worship or gig or study. In order to branch out in your faith, we must show Christ and the Holy Spirit working in us, in our hearts. This can be nurtured by the time that you spend in worship, the time that you spend in a gig, the time you spend serving, the time you spend teaching our young people and helping them become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Christ desires that each and every one of us experiences transformation that is like no other. Let us pray. Loving God, as we are faced with the decisions that need to be made, let us weigh the cost of following you. More important, Lord, let us weigh the cost of not following you. Guide us to be faithful disciples and help us to branch out in your love to the world outside these doors and putting you above all else. Amen.